Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior? I believe many of us who have accepted Christ would say yes. Then you are to be the light and then to be the salt. Your life must now impact people for Christ. If you are not, why do you say you're a Christian? Because to say that you're a Christian simply means that you are now a bearer of Christ. Everywhere you go, people are supposed to stop seeing you. They're supposed to see only Christ. This was how the Lord Jesus Christ started this Sermon on the Mount, by giving us the gospel message in the Beatitude. And then he described the environment in which we are going to live as a Christian. It will be an environment of hostility. There will be persecution. The only double blessing is when you are going through persecution. And then the Lord Jesus Christ says, you and I will be the light in a world that is in darkness, and salt to a world that is in decay. Your life and my life is supposed to retard decay and to preserve some semblance of holiness and godliness wherever you go. And to do that, the Lord Jesus Christ says, there must be first a transformation in your relationship. Every area of your life is a relationship. Everything, every area means possessions. He will deal with that in chapter 7. Your relationship with people, chapter 7. Your relationship with possessions, chapter 6. Sorry, not chapter 7. Your relationship with God, chapter 6. But first and foremost, he says, I want you to first ask yourself, if you are born again, how is your relationship with God's Word? What is the Word of God to you? Are you hungry? You hungry? No. You just had lunch, right? You hungry or not? Not hungry. But you're thinking of dinner, where to go after this? No? Thinking of your delicious, whatever you plan to eat after this? Some plate of chow kway teow or some food. Why? Because this body needs food. If not, we are going to be weak. We are going to decay. We can't get anything done. So we need food. And you don't have to tell a person that you don't need to eat and drink. He knows he's supposed to eat and drink. He may pick and choose what he wants to eat, what he wants to drink, but he knows that if he stops eating and drinking, he dies. And that means the only person on earth who is not interested in eating and drinking is a dead person. You don't believe? Next time you go to the vigil service, you try. The coffin is there. Hello, is it very hot in there? Are you thirsty? Are you hungry? If he answers you, you better run. If he doesn't, you know he is dead. Because there's no oxygen in there. There's no water, there's no food. In the spiritual realm, it's the same. The Bible is the milk and meat to our soul. That's why it is top on the list. Even before your relationship with God, which Jesus will deal with in chapter 6. Your prayer, your fasting, your giving. Way before your possessions, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. So the most important thing to make sure that you are born again, because everybody can say you are born again, but if you do not have a healthy biblical relationship to God's Word, you know you cannot adopt yourself into the kingdom of heaven. You know you are not a child of God if the Heavenly Father doesn't acknowledge you as the child of God. You can't adopt Him. He can adopt us through the Lord Jesus Christ. That is His prerogative and His power as God. In our earthly realm, it's the same thing. You can't adopt someone as your father. Otherwise, you can go around calling everybody as your father, right? That's not possible. But a father can adopt you as a child. That means all the privileges that he has as a father will become yours as well. So if you are truly born again, that means you are a child of God. And the Bible says the first thing that you have to realize as a child of God is your relationship to God's Word. Do you have a thirst and a hunger for God's Word? Because if you don't, you can't be the light. If you don't, you can't be the salt, because you don't know the Word of God. The Word of God is that which God will use to make you a light, to make you the salt. But if you don't have any desire for God's word, then you are spiritually dead, like the physical body that has no desire for milk, water, or food. You are dead. In the spiritual realm, it's the same. Don't treat your lackadaisical disinterest, indifference to the word of God as something trivial. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. It doesn't matter to God. If you have no desire for the word of God, then there is something that is seriously wrong with you. Because you cannot go through your spiritual life without drinking and eating the word of God. Impossible. You are spiritually dead. You have to eat the word. You have to drink the word. And so therefore, what is the word of God? Jesus says in verse 17, think not, don't begin to even contemplate, don't even allow this thought to come into your mind, he says, that I am come to destroy the law. The idea, of course, is Jesus Christ, that I am come to destroy the law. The law there would be a reference to the whole Old Testament, because immediately after that, he mentioned also the prophets. That is a summary of the whole Bible. The law and the prophets equals the whole Old Testament, all 39 books. Jesus says, I'm not here to destroy it. Please don't ever think that now that Jesus has come, the Bible is redundant. The Bible is now obsolete. Please don't try to put a wedge between the living word that is Jesus Christ and the written word. You cannot have the living word if you do not know the written word. The only way that you can know the living word that is Jesus Christ is through the word. There are churches today, primarily charismatic churches. They have a low view of God's word. They have people walking up to the pulpit and say, calling themselves pastors, God spoke to me this morning. They have no Bible basis. They just say, God spoke to me and God now tells me this morning to tell you this message. And the congregation believes. You have a low view of the written word of God. All these so-called claims of God speaking to you in a vision or dream means nothing. Don't be impressed. Don't be intimidated. Just because you claim to have a vision and a dream from God doesn't mean anything at all. It doesn't even mean that you are born again. Isn't it? There are many examples of genuine people who receive dreams and visions from God and they are not born again. You know that, right? Abimelech in the time of Abraham and Sarah. Genesis chapter 20. He went into the Philistine territory because of famine, and he thought that he could lie his way through, and the king Abimelech took his wife to be his wife. And at the time, Sarah was already pregnant with Isaac. And so God had to intervene and speak to the king of the Philistine city in a dream. Return this woman to him. He is my prophet. He is his wife. And the king said, I did not know. God said, I know you did not know. That's why you are still alive. But now that I have told you, now you know. If you don't return, you will die. God spoke to him. It was a real dream. Was Abimelech born again? No. God spoke to Balaam many times. Was Balaam born again? No. That's how important the written word of God is to the children of God, to genuinely born-again believers. Your attitude, your thirst and your hunger, your desire for the word of God should be stronger than your physical desire for your meals. That's what the Bible says. You know, once a person is very old and he's in hospital, one of the first signs that he is on the road to recovery is he has an appetite. Is it not true? That's the first indicator that he is on the road to recovery, appetite. When Jesus raised the child from the dead, hungry, give him food. Raised a little girl from the dead, hungry, give him food. Give her food. Appetite. How can you say you are born again, having been dead for so long, and then now you are born again, you have not been eating spiritual food all your life, and then you are born again, first thing you do is eat. Look at the baby, when the moment it comes from the mother's womb, cry, hungry, wants milk. Like us, it's the same. And the Bible says, I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Do you know what that means? It means that the eternal word is and can be summarized in two words: Jesus Christ. You mean the whole Old Testament is about Christ? Christ is the fulfillment of the whole Old Testament? Yes. Anyone who believes in the Old Testament must believe in Christ. Anyone who claims to believe in the Old Testament, who rejects Jesus as the Messiah, cannot be born again. Moses, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all of them believe in Jesus Christ. If you say that I believe in the Old Testament and I reject Christ, you are not born again. That's how important Jesus Christ is. And where do you find this Christ? The Word of God. The eternal Word is about Christ. All of it is about Christ. New Testament also about Christ. Old Testament also about Christ. The difference is this. Old Testament talks about the Christ that will come in the future, and He came. New Testament talks about the Christ who came in the past, talks about His first coming, as well as His future coming, second coming. It's all about Christ. And if you say that you have embraced and accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, how can you say now, I don't want to know Him? And how do you know Him? Through the Bible, the Word of God. That's what the first thing you have to understand about the eternal Word is this. Your now newfound love and relationship to the Word of God because of Jesus Christ. For the Word of God is Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I'm not here to destroy. I'm not here to neutralize the Word. I'm not here to discard the Word. I'm here to fulfill it. I'm here to make you understand the Word, embrace the Word, love the Word. That's what it means. A person who doesn't like to eat and drink is a person who will slowly die. He's not interested in food, he won't die. Same in the spiritual realm. Why do you think the Lord used this imagery to describe our spiritual food? It's the same kind of feeling that you have in the physical realm pertaining to food. It's the same kind of feeling that you should have in the spiritual realm. Doesn't matter who you are. Remember, when you come to church, everyone without exception in any sound church, you leave behind all your worldly accolades. Doesn't matter whether you are the prime minister, the president, or the king of some other country. The moment you come into church, you are either sinner saved by grace or sinner in need of grace. That's it. And therefore, you need Jesus Christ. Therefore, the Word of God must be to you, whether you are a king or a pauper, same kind of feeling, same kind of desire, same kind of goal, same kind of attitude. Doesn't matter. You don't say, well, I already have my postgraduate degree. I am this and this. I don't need the Word of God. Your postgraduate degree has nothing to do with the Word of God. The Word of God is Jesus Christ. When did you first accept Christ? Doesn't matter what degree you have, whatever science you have, whatever knowledge you have, whatever IQ you have, it is nothing when it comes to the Word of God, because the Word of God has nothing to do with your IQ. Your IQ is directly related to the earthly realm. This is a spiritual realm. You cannot understand the Word of God without the indwelling of the Spirit of God. The natural man understands natural things. The Spirit of God understands spiritual things. And how do you have the Spirit of God when you are born again? The Holy Spirit will indwell you. That makes you a spiritual person. Therefore, this affinity to the Word of God is natural. You don't fake it. You don't pretend. It's just natural. Just like a child, the woman is born into this world, the child doesn't pretend to be hungry. He is really hungry because the moment the child is alive, he's hungry. Why do you think God used born again to describe a Christian? The moment he is born in this world, naturally he's alive, he's hungry. He can't pretend. Babies don't pretend. They don't fake. Same for those of us who are born again. You don't pretend because the only loser will be you. Because you pretend to be a Christian, fine. We all will be deceived. We all do not know. You can come to church and you can walk like a Christian, talk like a Christian, but you are not a Christian. And then when the day of judgment comes, when you die, you end up in hell, you're not going to heaven. The loser is not us, it's you. Because you can deceive us, fine, but you can never deceive God, because He is the only one who has keys to heaven, not us. So the only person that you should be most concerned with is not us. It's not the leaders. It's not the elder or the pastor or anybody on earth. The one that you are most concerned with is God. And God says, I give you one clue. To know that you are born again is your relationship to my Word. Because the Word of God is Christ. all about the Word of God is Jesus Christ. And if you say that you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, then your affinity to the Word of God must change. Must change completely, because the Word of God is all about Christ. Verse 18, second thing to take note. Not only is it all about Christ, verse 18 describes your attitude toward the Word of God in terms of its perfection. Do you have a low view or a high view of God's Word? For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot, that is the smallest alphabet in the Hebrew alphabet, smallest letter in the Hebrew alphabet, or one tittle, that is a small little portion of one letter of the Hebrew alphabet, one tiny little part of it, it will never, never pass from the law. Never. Even when heaven and earth pass. That means it's an impossibility. You look at the heaven and earth. It is so eternal, isn't it? Generations of human beings come, generations of human beings leave. You look at the sky, look at the heaven, it continues to remain and remain and remain. People come, people go. People come, people go. The earth and the heavens, they remain constant. And Jesus says, compared to my word, heaven and earth is temporal. And to us, heaven and earth is so eternal. Isn't it true? God says, my word will never, never be lost. My word will never, never die. That's the word of God. From the moment it is inspired by God, it will continue to be preserved by God, and it will continue to remain all the days into eternity. It can never be lost. Because God knows how important the Word of God is. It is the milk and meat to our soul. God will never allow it to be contaminated. God will never allow it to be lost. Because the moment you believe that the Word of God is lost, the moment you believe that the Word of God has mistakes, your faith will be shaken completely. Especially when you do not know where all the mistakes are. It's out there somewhere, but don't know where. Now, this is the view of the anti-verbal plenary preservation group. You know how deadly and dangerous it is for them to have such a low view of God's word? Their salvation is a big question mark. Do you know that? I'm not saying they're not born again. But anyone who has a low view of God's word, his attitude toward God's word will change, and it will continue to slide and it will decay. You try, afterwards you're going to go eat again, right? You go and tell the person who cooks, okay, who go to hawker center, wherever, okay, please, I want you to take the bowl of the person who has just finished to put my food inside. You know what I mean? Those people who collect the plates and the bowls, right? Don't wash mine. I don't want to be washed. I want you to use it. It's empty, right? Just put food inside. And the chopstick also same. He just finished, right? Just take and then I use it. Do you want to try? Okay, you try. Next time I see you again, you tell me how you feel. Or somebody did it for you, right? You mind using that kind of bowl, or you want to use a bowl that has been washed clean and nice? Or you want to use a bowl that has been used by somebody before? I mean, you're not going to die, you know. I mean, I don't think you're going to die. I mean, the guy cough, and then he just eat, and then you just use. You're not going to die, right? You're not going to drop dead, right? But the thought of it is terrible, isn't it? It's revolting, right? The thought of it, I mean, he could take the chopstick, and stuck it in there. I mean, I'm going to take his chopstick, and then it's unthinkable, isn't it? Right? You don't want to do that, isn't it? You want a clean chopstick, clean bowl, everything clean, right? As pristine, as clean a condition as possible. Is that not true? You see a cockroach crawl over it, also you don't want. And when it comes to spiritual things, where heaven and hell, your soul in heaven and hell, you don't mind. Physical food that may not even cause you to die, you may not even get diarrhea, nothing probably will happen to you, and you are revolted and you want something clean and as clean as possible. No dirt, no filth. Is that not true? And even if you eat it and you die, it's only what? 70 years, it's only die on earth and that's it. My physical life is affected. That's all. You're not going to go to heaven or hell by eating somebody's used chopstick. True? And you don't want some dirt in it. But when it comes to the Word of God, you don't mind having dirt, you don't mind having mistakes. God says, what's wrong with you? Is that not a problem with you? Have such a low view of God's word? Have such a low view of the kind of food that you eat? You won't mind eating dirty, contaminated food in the spiritual realm? And you say that you are very particular, very concerned with physical food? You are putting the cart in front of the horse, isn't it? The horse should be in front. How can you have a concern for your physical food and have such a low concern or no concern at all for your physical, for your spiritual food? Something is amiss. Because a person who is born again, he will have the highest regard for God's word. Jesus Christ never came to destroy it. He came to fulfill it. He came to tell us that I am the very word of God. And you must have the highest regard for God's word. Jesus says, it will never, never be lost. It will never pass away. It will never die. My word. Until every one of it is fulfilled. That's the word of God. Every promise, you can trust it. In other words, you can trust the word of God. The only book on planet earth that will never lie to you. The only book on planet earth that if you obey it, all the do nots and the do's, it will always turn out for your good. You want to bring up your children that your child will be godly? Follow the Bible. If you want to think otherwise, you pay the price. And the price is waywardness. The price is you're going to hurt your child, and those years that you're supposed to mold the child toward the direction of Christ and holiness is lost forever because you only have one goal. And if you miss it, it's not going to repeat it and you cannot start all over again. You don't believe me? You ask many parents whose children are grown up. How they long and wish they had known the word of God much earlier before they mess up the lives of their own children. We have parents who are like that. Grown up children working in the world now, successful in the working world, making tons of money, 5-figure salary every month, but far, far away from God. Their heart is broken. They wish they had the word of God to shape them and to mold them when they were very young. But now it's too late to shape them and mold them. All they could do now is to pray to God and ask God to be merciful. Merciful, that's it. That's how important the word of God is. The word of God is all about Christ. The word of God is all about perfection. You don't have a low view of God's word, because to have a low view of God's word is to have a low view of Christ. Because the word of God is Christ, isn't it? That's why Jesus says, you must have a right understanding to my word if you say you are born again. The first relationship that you have to contend with, your own soul, is the word of God. Are you born again? Have you truly accepted Christ as your Lord and as your Savior? Show it by a love for the word. Show it by the highest regard that you have for God's word in your life. That whatever the word of God says, I will do. You have to have this highest regard. If you don't have this high regard for God's word, you're in serious trouble. Your salvation is in serious trouble. How can someone who is born again have such a low view for the kind of food that they eat? Do you eat often the spiritual food? Pray tell. Or do you open the Bible only on Sunday when you do responsive reading? Do you open the Bible and read God's word every morning? Every night, do you read the Word of God? Do you have a good, solid, consistent Bible study program? Do you attend night class in FEBC? Do you count the study of God's Word as of highest priority in your life and in the life of your family and your children? Let me ask you a question. How many of you pay tuition to have tutor for your children? Remember I asked you before? I still got no email inviting me, you know. Huh? Nobody. You know how much I charge? Tuition for study God's word? You don't know. Free. Free also the one. Free, you know, free. For math, for science, for all those, you got to pay. Don't know how much I came out in the papers, right? Some parents pay $1,000, $3,000 a month to tutor their children in science, history, geography, Chinese, whatever it is. For what? To prepare them for the physical world, that they may get university degree, hoping that they may get a good job, hoping that they may get a luxurious way of life in Singapore. That's it, right? Fine, that's the world. But we are Christians. We don't think like the world. We are Christians whereby we think in terms of eternity, whereby when I die, when my children die, we are still together as a family. We will all be found in heaven. That must be our perception of family. Not just prepare them for the world that is on earth, but to prepare them for a world that is to come after earth. Is that not true, Christians? If you say you are born again, you are the father, you are the mother, should this not be your new focus and new concerns? Then have the highest regard for the word of God in the lives of your children. Have the highest regard for the word of God in your own life, because if you don't have it in your own life, you don't have it in your own children's life. Do you push and encourage your children to attend your fellowship groups? I don't know how many fellowship groups Tabernacle has. Do you encourage them? The YF, the teens, the YF, whatever fellowship groups, do you encourage them? Do you go yourself? Do you put as a priority to attend church camp? Do you have a priority in terms of spiritual things in the life of your family, of yourself, of your children? Do you have or not? Because if you are born again, these are natural desires that cannot be denied. You can't help it. Like a child who is born in this world alive. If you're still born, you're dead, fine. We understand. You're not born again. We don't force you, because we cannot expect Christian love and Christian feelings and emotions from one who is spiritually dead, because you are totally depraved. That's what the Bible says. You cannot have these feelings and emotions because you are not born again. We understand. That's fine. But if you say you're born again and you don't have these feelings, don't have these emotions, you are not fine. You are living in delusion. You are deceiving yourself. That's why Jesus says, use your attitude, your love for my written word as a yardstick to measure the sincerity of your own soul, whether you are truly born again. This is not for you to check on another person. This is for you and me to check on ourselves. Because it is a heartfelt condition. You can't read hearts. I can't read hearts. That's why it's not for me to check on my neighbor. It's for me to check on my own heart. Please don't think that just because you are a FEBC graduate, you're a preacher of God, you're also born again. The Apostle Paul himself asked himself over and over again, I make sure of my own salvation so that when I finish my service unto the Lord, I do not find myself a castaway. A castaway means a reprobate. Unbelievers. You mean there are people who can preach the word of God, study the word of God, learn Hebrew, learn Aramaic, learn Greek, and not born again? Yes. Many of them, you find them in America, in Singapore. They are lecturers in seminaries and Bible colleges. They are not born again because they have treated this as a job. Now they have turned Christianity into a job whereby there are a lot of perks, especially in America. You travel at great discount. You look for a job. Literally look for a job. You go to the notice board of the seminary and they literally hire a pastor. And they will tell the pastor like what you find in any other job. You come for the interview and if we accept you, these are your perks. Free insurance. We will get a bungalow for you. You will be given a car. You will be given a lot of privileges. And then in America, you'll be given a card to say that you're an ordained minister. You can fly at discounted prices. You can go to certain shopping centers and buy things at discounted prices. All you need to do is to show them your pastoral card. So why not? Why not be a pastor? And so they have turned this into a job. And so many of the pastors will just move from church to church after every 3 or 4 years. Because first year, honeymoon. Second year, honeymoon, come a little bit of problems. By the time third year, oh, your problem. Bye-bye, bye-bye. Another church. Start again. 3 years, first year, honeymoon again. And then second year, problem, honeymoon. Third year, problem, bye-bye, bye-bye. They go. 10 years later, I've gone through 3 churches. And then another 10 more years, retire. All I need to do is to prepare sermons for 3 years. Because I can repeat it in different congregations, right? See, I'm very smart. See, pastors are very smart. And then what do you do in between? I record all my sermons for 3 years. 3 years, so 1 year, 50 weeks. So 150 sermons, put a little 10 more for Christmas and Easter, whatever anniversary. Okay, 160, 200. Okay, 200 sermons, I just prepare. And in between what I do, I play golf. I go tennis, go holiday, walk around, pastor this, pastor that. That's all. So what I do during the course of the week, I play golf. You got any problems? I work 9 to 5. Don't have problems? please, after 5. No time. There are certain pastors like that. And one day off, don't forget, when my day off, please don't come and disturb me. It's a time when I spend time with God on the beach, holding my lemonade. Don't disturb me. I don't take any phone call. I don't accept any help. I don't render help. Please leave me alone. It's my day off, my Sabbath. Because Sunday I'm very busy, right? Who doesn't want to be a pastor? You tell me. With this kind of life, they have turned this into a profession. That's why in America, when they brought in a professor at our seminary, and they were so happy, so proud, you know, 10 years as a pastor. Then Dr. Jeffrey Koo and I, we all sat back, 10 years as a pastor, and they were so amazed, you know, so happy and thankful that he could come in and teach pastoral theology because he has been a pastor for 10 years in one church. Then we look back and I think, Reverend Toh, 40 years. And in Singapore, 20 years is still a young, wet behind the ears pastor, isn't it? 30 years, 40 years is nothing. In America, 10 years is something unthinkable. You are a very rare breed. That's how sad, that's how bad Christianity is in some of these first world countries. The word of God is just something that I do, I study to make a living. Make a living. And if we are not careful in FEBC, we end up the same. We end up the same. We don't study the Bible for our own quiet time. We study the Bible for Bible study, for messages. We must study to feed our own soul. It's like a cook. You know, a cook in a restaurant. I just cook to feed everybody outside in the restaurant, right? So if I cook, 100, 200 dishes every day, wow, I must be very full. Am I full? You eat, I'm full. You must be joking, right? Because if you eat, I'm full, then I'll be very fat. True? So I got to cook to feed myself. Same. I got to just sit down, study God's word to feed my own soul, not to prepare sermons. The tendency is to be lazy, and then you forget that this is not a job. This is a calling. That every time you come up here to minister the word of God, you are not just giving a sermon. You're giving a part of yourself. You're sharing with people what God has done for your life, in your life. That's what ministry is. And to do that, you must first have to taste the word. You must first have to eat the word. You must first have to drink the word. The word of God has to become part of you. Because that's what giving the word of God is, sharing the word of God is to others. Have the highest regard for God's word, and don't let anything or anyone diminish that high regard. Because the moment you allow your job, you allow care for family life, you allow gold and silver and all these things to distract you from studying God's word, then your view of God's word is very low. Then are you sure you're born again? How can you not eat and drink spiritual food? How can you have such a low view of God's word? Third and final, it is all about Christ. It is all about the perfect Bible. It's all about obedience. Studying the word of God is good. Spending time memorizing God's word is good. But if you don't obey it, it's no use. Obedience is key. Obedience is what Jesus expects. Wherefore, therefore, shall whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. What it means is that the person is not born again. Alright? He's not saying that he's least in terms of, well, in heaven they are the highest and the lowest, and so these people can go to heaven, but they have a very low place to put in heaven. It doesn't mean that. It means that he is not born again. Please understand this. How can someone teach another person not to obey God's word? How can someone break the word of God himself continuously, consistently, and he doesn't care about it? He doesn't even feel bad about it. And he teach others to break the word of God. Has a low view of God's word. How can he be born again? In other words, you want to know whether you are born again, you look at yourself in relation to God's word. Do you teach others to disobey God's word? To break God's word? Don't think that, well, it's a wrong interpretation, I'm sincere. Doesn't matter whether you're sincere, you're still wrong. But whosoever shall do, that is obey, and teach them correctly, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Obedience. The word of God is always about Christ. The word of God is always the highest priority. The attitude is perfection. And then the third, obey. Don't defend the perfect Bible and you don't obey. You don't read, don't obey. What's the point? What is the point? Then it is just an academic exercise. Defending the word of God is not an academic exercise. You defend the word of God because it is the right doctrine. It is the perfect word of God. There is no contamination in the word of God. And therefore, I will eat it. I will drink it. That means I will obey it happily, joyfully, because it will never hurt me. I can trust it. I love it. I want to obey it. And I will teach people to also have the highest regard for God's word. For Jesus says to all of us, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. Now let's look at the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. The scribes are the lawyers. They are the ones who will copy the Bible. They are the ones who know the Bible very, very well. Because they are the copyists of the Word of God. That means they know the Word of God very well. And the Pharisees, they are the highest practitioner of the doctrine of biblical separation. The Pharisees are the Jews who refused to be contaminated by the Grecian way of life when Alexander the Great came and conquered Palestine. There were many Jews who compromised, many Jews who were like the Chinese. You know, you put me in any environment, as long as I can make money, I don't care what you want me to be. You want me to be this, I will be this, just to make money. They are called the Sadducees. Very good in making money. They don't care, they'll compromise. They will befriend the Greeks, later on the Romans, they'll befriend the Romans. As long as they can make a buck, as long as they can have money, they become wealthy, they don't care how they compromise their faith. Whereas the Pharisees will remain very pure and holy. No matter what, we will be different from everybody else. And so unless your righteousness, your knowledge of the word of God is higher than that of the scribe, as far as head knowledge is concerned, as long as your righteousness is not higher than that of the Pharisee, with all the external trappings of obedience, with all the externals, 100% since they were little boys, they grew up, they have been following all the word of God as far as the traditions were concerned, as far as all these externals were concerned, like the Apostle Paul before he was converted Saul. Unless your righteousness is higher than that, you can never enter into the kingdom of heaven. Because in a Jewish family, whenever a father were to tell a child, you want to go to heaven, you look at the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. As far as they are concerned, they see them as having already one foot in heaven. Because that's how righteous these people were. Now, remember, on planet Earth, the only nation that has the word of God is Israel. All other nations, their righteousness is not based upon God's word, is not based upon truth, no count. They are discounted straight away. And within the nation of Israel, all the people in the nation of Israel who has all the external trappings of a righteous person is the Pharisees, are the Pharisees and the scribes. That's why Jesus used their righteousness as the most righteous of all the righteousness on planet Earth. And Jesus is now basically removing this mindset of the Jews. Because these are all the disciples, all the multitudes who were there. They have been taught since they were young. If you want to go to heaven, think of the righteousness of the Pharisees and the scribes. Think of the righteousness of the Pharisees and the scribes. And here Jesus, right from the very onset, if you say you're born again, Jesus says, even the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, that all of you think they are so high up, Jesus says, it's not high enough. It's not good enough to go to heaven. You must have a righteousness that is far higher than that of these two groups of people. Ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. You will never, the word no case there is the double negative, the most emphatic negative that you could ever find. You will never, never enter into the kingdom of heaven. And the only way you can have this righteousness is the righteousness of Jesus Christ that is given to us. You cannot earn it. All you have to do is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ from your heart that He is your Lord and your Savior, that He died on the cross for your sins, rose from the dead for your justification. If you truly accept this righteousness is given to you, it's a righteousness that comes from God, that is obtained through the obedience of Jesus Christ when He walked on this earth on your behalf, on my behalf. That's why this righteousness is the only righteousness that every one of us must have before you can enter into the kingdom of heaven. And how do you get that? Obedience to the word of God. Obedience to the word of God is the evidence. The word of God is Christ. The word of God is perfect. But the word of God must be obeyed. Not in the head, in the heart. Experiential knowledge, in other words. The word of God is obeyed everywhere you go, not just in church, at home, in your school, in your workplace. Everywhere you go, the word of God must be obeyed, no matter what. And to do that, you have to study. That's why you must have the highest regard for God's word. You do not allow anything or anyone to prevent you from reading and studying God's word. No matter how busy you are, studying the word of God, number one priority. Exam or no exam tomorrow, studying the word of God must be paramount. You never stop reading and studying God's word. Just like you never stop reading or eating, right? You continue to eat, continue to read and study God's word. Never, never stop. That's the eternal word. That Jesus wants all of us, as his children, to evaluate in our own soul. So are you born again? We began this sermon by asking that question. And now we're going to close the sermon by asking you the same question. Are you truly born again? Put aside all your accolades. Put aside all your service. Put aside all your titles. Doesn't matter. Elder, pastor, deacon, doesn't matter. Are you truly born again? Then measure it in terms of the word of God. It is Christ. Do you have it as your highest priority? Do you love it? And do you obey it? If you do, then Jesus says, you are a Christian. If you don't, be honest with yourself. Check your own soul. Check your own heart. For Jesus' sake. And for your own soul's sake. That's how important the eternal word of God is to you. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, forgive us of all our sins, O Lord, and may Thy Holy Spirit speak to our hearts this afternoon and bring conviction to all our hearts, O Lord. If we say that we are a Christian, if we say that we have accepted Christ as our Lord and as our Savior, help us to evaluate our confession against Thy holy word. Do we have a thirst and a hunger for Thy truth? Do we have the highest regard for Thy truth? And do we obey Thy truth in our hearts and in our lives, in our relationship with our spouses, in our relationship with our children, in our relationship with our parents, in our relationship with our friends, in our relationship with Thee, and with the Word of God, and with our possessions? May all these come under the sound of the Word of everlasting life, for we are truly transformed. And we pray, Father, that You will continue to keep us sustained in the love for Thy truth. For indeed, Thy word is truth and is able to sanctify us, to make us more and more like our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the heart's cry and desire of everyone who is truly born again. Continue, O Lord, to lead us and guide us as we come before the Lord's table. May Thy Holy Spirit bring conviction as we come before the Lord's table to partake of the bread and the cup. May Thy Holy Spirit continue to speak to our hearts. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for Thy glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.